This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning, good morning. Y'all ready? March 15th on The Fan in New York. It's Saturday. Keith McPherson on The Fan for two more hours. So that means dial 888-808-1019 if you'd like to talk to me. I would like to talk to you, and I'd like to talk about everything, all the sports. I mean, we haven't really gotten into the Devils and the Mrs. Fields phenomena, and I've tied that to Justin Fields. I'm like, look, no coincidence. Justin Fields arrives, Mrs. Fields arrives, and the Devils got a three-game winning streak. Rangers trying to keep it going. We haven't talked Knicks yet. Mikal Bridges and his performance. And now, with it being Saturday, this is a big one for the Knicks tonight. Yankee fans online, I'm going to get to you, but I did want to sprinkle in a little bit of the Knicks because the Knicks will play later today at 8:30. So we got St. John's 6:30. They'll face Creighton. And then we'll have the Knicks facing the Golden State Warriors. What if Steph Curry just hit 4,000 threes or something like that? Like, this guy's ridiculous. Literally the best shooter we've ever seen. The best shooter we have ever seen. 888-808-1019. Why is it a big game for the Knicks? Obviously, well, you know, they're going to lean into the drama. They're going to lean into what Draymond had to say about Kat. They're going to lean into what Mikal Bridges had to say about the minutes and Tom Thibodeau and, you know, talking to him and you know, Tibbs saying, oh, he didn't speak, and then them speaking, whatever. It doesn't matter. I like it. I like that, you know, Mikal Bridges is the Iron Man. Mikal Bridges is the guy they traded all those picks for. Mikal Bridges is the guy that gets most of the brunt of the criticism and smoke from Knicks fans because they were saying, this guy isn't worth whatever. Now, with Brunson down, he steps up. His celly went crazy after he hit that three to win it in overtime. And I'm like, okay, good. Good on that guy, knowing that, you know, all eyes were on him. He comes out, he has a good game, he hits the game-winning shot. They got to follow it up. I don't think they should pay Draymond any mind. I don't think Karl-Anthony Towns should try to check him or get in his face, ignore him. The team needs you. And if the Knicks are able to go 3-2 on this road trip, losing JB in the first game, they lost to the Lakers, they lost to the Clippers, they were able to beat the Sacramento Kings, the Trailblazers, and now if they're able to knock off Steph and the Warriors in the Chase Center, it's exactly what the doctor ordered. It's what you need at this time. 888-808-1019. And, you know, I don't mind, like I said, I don't mind Mikal Bridges speaking his mind about the minutes because he's not wrong. And obviously this is not new. He's not the first person to speak on this. He might be like the first player on the team, and some people might not like that he's the guy on the team, but so what? You need to have a bench, and guys need to have rest, and the rotation is certainly different without Brunson. So, you know, guys have stepped up for the Knicks. They really have to step up against the Warriors here to salvage this road trip. And, you know, I know when the road trip started, it's like they very well could lose all of these games. But they're holding right now, and they're holding in that three spot. And we'll see what happens with the Knicks. 888-808-1009. We'll also see what happens with the New York Yankees. I'm cool with the hype dying down. I'm cool with the expectations being lowered. I'm cool with the amount of people that say the Yankees can't win the World Series. They're not a World Series team anymore. This team's a third-place team. They're not a lock for the postseason. Fine. I'm ready for the fantastic voyage. I'm strapped in for the long haul. I'm ready for the ride. Every year can't be the same, and every year is not the same. They don't have to be the number one seed. They don't have to win the division. They have to be healthy and get in the tournament. They have a wait-and-see approach right now because, you know what? Yeah, they got the $27 million from Gerrit Cole, and yeah, they have some needs, but there's not that many people available. And they have a self-imposed ceiling. They have a budget. They have a max spend. They're not spending anymore. So here we are with the season starting. Let's hope that they come out swinging and scoring and pitching well and playing defense. And we'll know when we get closer to the trade deadline in July what they'll need. And hopefully they make a move for what they need. And who knows? Who knows what could happen with the Yankees and the Mets? You know, Mets fans, we might be relying on Carlos Carrasco in pinstripes this year. He said everybody wants to put on the pinstripes. Well, here you go, Carlos Carrasco. We may need you to make a couple starts. We might be relying on Dom Smith to DH or Ben Rice. You guys see that Ben Rice homer? Josh is in Long Beach on the fan. What's up, Josh?
What's up, homie? I apologize in advance for this idea, but it's driving me crazy. I'm a Mets fan. My dad's a Yankees fan. And, like, every year it's our pitchers go down and the season's down the tubes, and it's just like we just have to, like, help each other out making it through. And I'm like, dude, the pitching machine that we bought for the Mets is supposed to be, like, whatever, some $10 million pitching machine, whatever it is. But it's – what if we just – I mean, hear me out. I know it's crazy. What if we just put that much technology and got rid of these pitchers that are one every 5 day players that are hurt with elbows and just totally torn up the game? Your whole team is shot for the rest of the season, and there's not even enough aces in the league to even be fair. So if we had, like, a pitching machine – that's like, you know, $10 million guy that we roll out there, and the actual manager can actually manage a game and manage what kind of pitches he wants to pitch to these guys. I just feel like your whole season wouldn't go to trash as fast and just get rid of pitchers. I know it sounds crazy, but man, it just, to me, when I'm talking to my dad, you guys, you know, lose your guy, he's like, absolutely, I'll take it right now. Let's go. So, like, crazy idea. Even if we just tried it, I know you can't try it in spring training because that's when you're building up your pitching and getting everybody on board. But, man, I just – sorry for the crazy idea, but just, like, get rid of these bums.
How many guys are on the roster if we have these pitching machines replace all the pitchers? How many guys can we carry on the roster?
I mean, I'm just saying it's healthy for the economy. You know what I mean? We'll bring the ticket prices down. We'll make the hot dogs a little bit cheaper. We'll invest that money into the fans. You know what I mean? Like, let's get rid of those extra bodies down there. Just saying. I know it's crazy, but man, I'm sick of my whole season being torn up by, you know, a 35-year-old pitcher, ace, you know what I mean, with his third blown out elbow. I mean, Max is still getting contracts. Like,
yeah,
these guys are like,
we'll
in
see
the 40s. It's nuts. Like, what are we doing here? Let's get rid of these bums.
You're a Mets fan, right?
Days?
You say you're a Mets fan?
I am.
You'll see Scherzer when Toronto comes to town. Who knows? And then also, like, your president of baseball operations, he's not paying these older pitchers. And pitchers get hurt. It's part of the game. Somebody else is going to rise.
Is.
You have young pitching depth coming through for the Mets. So do the Yanks.
Yeah,
Luis Gil doesn't win Rookie of the Year without Cole going down last year.
100%. Like, I get that, like, baseball in the playoffs last year, watching what the Dodgers did. You know what I mean? Just rolling out those pitchers and just inning after inning. It was absolutely, even taking an L was just beautiful to watch. You know what I mean? So I get the love of it. But, man, the season is either too long or these pitchers are too old or we got to milk them or, like, just, like, let them play 30 games. I don't know what we got to do, but we got to keep these guys healthy. It's insane. I don't know what we got to do, but we got to do something. It just ruins your whole season.
Thanks for the call, Josh. That's never going to happen, ever. It's not batting practice. They're not in the cage. And yeah, they have these pitching machines that can mimic pitchers for these guys to, you know, these high velocity machines for these guys to get ready for. But, like, that's the whole game. Like, CeCe Sabathia said, the game doesn't start 50,000 people in in the Bronx waiting on me, and the game doesn't start till I'm ready. Like, the whole game starts with that pitcher. Now, you know, we want to talk technology, getting the sign in his pitch comm and, you know, going into his motion. We're not going to have robo pitchers. We're going to have this robo umps ABS system, though. Or it's not robo umps, but it's some help. We're already seeing that in spring training. We have a pitch clock. We have replay. We're not gonna take a player off the field. That's like my first thought was, okay, we completely wipe out the pitcher. What's the roster? We're not gonna have any pitchers. We're just gonna have settings. You don't have to go to the bullpen. You just gotta go to your pitcher. Pitchers start to fatigue, right? Pitchers have a couple times through the order, like there's strategy and there's things in play here. Like pitchers have a pitch count. It's part of the game. They'll never do that. But I see what you're thinking, man. You're looking for a way to avoid the pain of these starting pitchers going down. It is part of it. 888-808-1019. Someone else will rise. Someone else will get an opportunity. A younger guy will get a chance to play in the show. Next man up. John is in Hartford, Connecticut on the Fan. Hello, John.
Hey, Keith. You do a great job, buddy.
Thanks.
Two quick points, one on the Knicks and one on the Giants. First with the Knicks, Bridges' comment about extending the bench and the rotation was spot on. You know, Tibbs needs to kind of adjust to that. Look at what Jericho Sims is doing for the Bucks. Getting a minutes, he looks like a different player. They need to get a few more players in that rotation. NBA season's a grind. You can't go with an eight-guy rotation. You can't. It's impossible.
Yeah, and look at the teams that you're going up against. The best teams in the league, they have a deep bench. They empty their bench. Their bench plays, and they shoot, and they score, and they rebound. And it's just the formula that Tibbs has of, like, no, I trust my guys. I want to play my guys. That's not the formula that the Celtics have. That's not the formula that the Cavs have. That's not what the Thunder are doing.
It sets you up for having an injury like we have right now that you have to deal with. So it doesn't give you that.
Right. Learn from last year. You literally ran out of bodies.
Yeah, exactly. And the second point on the Giants, just a question. Who do you think is the no-miss guy, quarterback, no-miss guy in the draft? If you say who's going to be the best player out of this draft, who would you say it is right now?
I want to say Abdul Carter because he's just got to put his hand in the ground and dominate.
I was going to say the same thing. So if the Giants are sitting there and they're not comfortable with a quarterback to go ahead and give up draft picks for, why don't you let this play out, take Abdul Carter, right, sign a veteran like Winston or someone like that, stay away from Rodgers, and maybe trade for the guy for the Patriots, Milton, that has just as much upside as these guys that are in the draft. And try to develop him this year.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, and save your capital and just build a strong roster. There's going to be an opportunity to get a veteran quarterback eventually, but I wouldn't give it Rodgers any big money or even Russell. I would go with the route of taking the best available player, right, Abdul Carter, and then go out and sign Jameson Winston as your starter, just say, and go ahead and take a flyer on Joe Milton and give a fourth or fifth round pick on him. And give him the shot to develop. If you saw his stats this past year when he got his opportunity, he's got all the tools.
I'd love to know the asking price on Joe Milton. I'd much rather give up a third, fourth round pick if that's how high the asking price is. I'd much rather give up a third, fourth round pick for Bazooka Joe than give up what the Titans are going to ask for Cam Ward.
Exactly. And we're not even GMs. And I don't know what these guys are thinking. I kind of listen to the radio station every day. And it's like we're waiting on Rodgers. Why are we waiting on Rodgers? He's 41 going on 51. We don't need that. We need to turn the page on that. I know these guys don't, you know, want to save their jobs or anything.
Yeah, I'd be done. I'd be done with Rodgers. If, like, you live in Jersey. You just played in the stadium. If you want to be here, you should know if you want to be here or not. We're not. Don't drag us along. Don't use us.
He's playing the rosters right now. He's looking at the rosters and he's saying, hey, my best roster to give my best chance is on the Steelers, but I want my money. So he wants his cake and eat it too. And I guarantee you right now, if it's not the Steelers, he doesn't get his money there, he's going to start calling the Vikings next. Okay? That's going to be the next call he's going to make. try to get as much money out of them. I wouldn't give him a dime. Okay? Let's just move forward. Jameis Winston would come in tomorrow, sign a contract, and let's just set it up and go forward. Okay? And that's it. Let everybody worry about the next pick and hope that Carter drops to us with the 3 pick. That's what I would do.
Thanks for the call, John. Aaron Rodgers is not the end-all, be-all. Aaron Rodgers is a song that doesn't end. Aaron Rodgers should not be holding up the Giants. If they want Russell Wilson, he was in the building today, sign him. Done. If they want to talk to Jameis Winston and they're thinking about him and they think they can limit his interceptions and turnovers, boom, get him in there. Done. Like, Aaron Rodgers is not good enough right now to pay all that money and to wait and to stop your other plans. And, you know, you talked about Abdul Carter, and I talked about him as well. I don't want to say they don't have room for him, but they did make the move for Chauncey Golston. They did make the move last season for Brian Burns. They do have Kayvon. Like, they have some guys on the edge. But Abdul Carter, if he's there, which he very well could be, as we've talked about tonight, it could be Cam 1, Shedeur Sanders 2, because both the Titans and Browns need a quarterback. They might have to swing at the top two quarterbacks that are projected to be NFL guys, you know, surefire guys. Don't take Jackson Dart at 3. That is ridiculous. There are too many good players to say, yeah, we're going to take Jackson Dart at 3. Abdul Carter, maybe even Travis Hunter. If it's not Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter is just such a freak athlete. I've told people, go look up his basketball highlights and stuff. And he plays two positions, so you can kind of figure it out based on your need and where he excels or doesn't excel. But the Giants need a young quarterback and a veteran quarterback, no matter what. You got Tommy DeVito, a young quarterback, a veteran quarterback. Those are your three guys. If one of the Titans or Browns do not draft a quarterback, it's going to be hard to pass on Shedeur Sanders. It's going to be hard to pass on Shedeur Sanders, knowing that you've scouted him, knowing how accurate he is. He's got a relationship with Malik Nabers. He's already rich. The city's not going to phase him. And you need something like that, right? When I talked about Mara earlier and how Mara's like, Saquon Barkley is the most popular player by far. I don't know how many jerseys Abdul Carter's going to sell. Shedeur Sanders is going to sell a lot of jerseys. Travis Hunter, too. My guy, Tony from Montreal, back on the Fan. What's up, Tony?
How you doing, man? I love the show. I love the show, man. Just getting out of work, and I'm listening to you. I'm listening to all the guys call in, and you're amazing host. I love your show.
Thank
Listen,
you.
I just want to draw an analogy, Keith. You know, Shedeur is an incredible athlete, but the pedigree is incredible. People got to understand that anybody that throws negativity towards his dad, Dion, there's something wrong with those kind of people, because this is probably one of the greatest 5 athletes in the century. You have a guy that could play baseball and football on the same day in Atlanta. Okay, and I don't know, you're an athlete. You know what that would be like. Imagine playing an NHL hockey game and then going over and playing baseball. It would be almost impossible. But even worse, it's football and baseball. Two tough mental sports and two tough physical sports. And then you have a guy, his dad is not only an athlete of that caliber, but he played in a World Series and he played in a Super Bowl, and he won a Super Bowl. He didn't win the World Series, but, you know, he was there. And now people are hating on a guy that made $1.9 million. Shedeur is a millionaire. He made $1.9 million in revenue this year in Colorado. There's a lot of hatred towards a player of that talent. And I don't want to say that Shedeur, if he was a white dude, would have the same type of hatred or animosity, okay? I'm an Italian guy. I don't care about the color of the athlete. I care about the talent. And I'll cheer for any talent, no matter whoever that person is, as long as he's dedicated. He's got speed. He's got intelligence. He's got grit. And he wants to win. And that's this kid. I saw highlights on Shedeur. I'm not a football guy, but I'm a hockey scout, and I know I'm looking for talent. I'm looking for big men that are fast, and they have grit, and they can. So look at this guy on highlight. I saw one game where he threw 3 touchdown passes. He wasn't even throwing the ball like he looked like he was throwing it hard, and he was winging the ball down the field, and he was accurate. So I don't know, Keith, I'm not a football guy, but I could tell talent when I see it. And I just want to draw this analogy. Back in the 50s, John Beliveau was playing junior hockey in Quebec City for the Ramparts. He was earning $20,000 a year when bread was 5 cents. So today, bread is 4 cents. That $20,000 contract is $1.6 million today dollars. Shadar earned $1.9 million. He doesn't care, okay, if he goes number one, number three. He's a millionaire already, and he knows he's good. And any of those teams that you're just mentioning that don't draft him, I don't want to say they're not well in the mind, but there's something wrong. And, you know, I think that this guy, and also Schruck, because you also noticed that Schruck is down in the top 10. And he has, similarly, a 25-year-old that's played at three schools and knows different formats in football, and he can play. And, you know, we don't have to be losers for the Jets. You can just look at players and try to do your best in drafting the best players, like you said. And, you know, there are phenomenal players in this draft. And I'm wondering why it's taken 30 years for the Montreal Canadiens to draft properly, and they have the same disease as the Jets have. They seem to always fail in the draft. And you, Keith, are a football guy. You played the game. You tell me what it is that people would not draft, why they wouldn't draft a guy like Shadar. What would be your reasoning not to get a superstar like that?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Great call and a lot there, Tony, and I'll try and go back. I'll start with what you're saying, why they wouldn't draft Shadar. Oh, he's cocky. He's brash. He's overconfident. He's not that athletic. Oh, he's the coach's son, right? His dad has coached him all through high school and the two colleges, right? He's a spoiled rich kid. He's always been rich. Like, you're talking about the $1.9 million that he made this year. He's been at Colorado 2 years. He was also making money at Jackson State. His dad is making a ton of money. They've written articles about how much money, you know, Dion brought into Boulder, Colorado, being out there. They're surrounded by money. Money is not a problem. Money is not a thing. But why someone would shy away from Shadar Sanders, they're saying he's not athletic. He's not athletic enough. But when I've watched him play, he's a competitor. He's tough. He knows defenses. He can read defenses. As everybody's telling us, Justin Fields can't read a defense. He's been able to read defenses. His dad was a defensive great. You think they haven't sat in countless film rooms and going over a ton of things his whole life? They have. But people are shying away from Dion as well. I don't know how many calls I heard on WFAN. Oh, is Dion going to show up to the game? No, he's coaching a whole college football program. Oh, well, we don't want the circus that Dion's going to bring. What circus? They're professionals. Football is their family business. And, like, playing the race card with it, like, I know Ryan Clark upset some people, but I think it's just the way he worded it. The way I've been wording it is we've just never seen this. We've never seen a rich black quarterback, top prospect, whose dad is a Hall of Famer. Like, we've never seen a kid with all of that that also went from a historically black college to Colorado, who was 1-11 before. We've never seen this combination of things with Shadar, and he's not the runner. He's not the scrambler. He's a pocket passer. He models his game after Tom Brady. He used to work out with Tom Brady. I think he's going to be a good quarterback in the league because of one intangible: accuracy. Accuracy. You guys are saying Justin Fields can't throw the ball, he's not accurate. Shadar is. If Shadar has a lane and can set his feet, even if he can't, he's going to spin out of the pocket, find grass, and throw the ball downfield accurately. Like Tony was talking about watching him play, it doesn't seem, you know, it seems effortless. It doesn't seem like it's taking him a lot to wing the ball. Yeah, he's a natural thrower of the ball. And he's accurate. And in the NFL, so many times, accuracy is so needed. Accuracy can change a drive. Right? If Zach Wilson was more accurate, the Jets would have been in a better spot. If Justin Fields was more accurate, maybe he would have been able to keep the job in Pittsburgh. I look at Shadar as like, okay, there's a reason that the Giants went down there and scouted him so much. There's a reason that they went down there and looked at him. And I think it'd be tough for this Giants team to pass up on him because it's looking like they're not going to get Aaron Rodgers. They did not get Matthew Stafford. They might not get Russell Wilson either, but I think they're in a good spot for Russell Wilson. You got to get your quarterback of the future, and other teams are gunning for quarterbacks. It's not guaranteed that, like, okay, if you don't use that top pick at three and Shadar Sanders is there, somebody's scooping him, right? Some people say that he profiles like Geno Smith. That's his NFL comp. Tom Brady, who I just spoke of, is in Vegas. Why wouldn't the Raiders take him right there? Yeah, they have other needs, But, like, they might take him right there and be like, this is our quarterback of the future. Let him sit behind Geno for a couple years like Jordan Love sat behind Aaron Rodgers. Other teams can trade up, too. The draft is a competition. Other teams can trade up, too. If they pass on Shedeur Sanders, somebody is trading up. Somebody's trading up to get him. And it's not a guarantee that you'll be able to get Jaxson Dart, because who knows where Jaxson Dart is going to go. Jaxson Dart right now, they have going to the Raiders at 37 in the second round, which shows you that they expect the Raiders to be looking for a quarterback, even though, you know, Tankathon has Ashton Jeedy going to them, because I don't know. I'm just still thinking running backs are going to go that high. I don't think running backs are going that high, especially in a deep running back draft. I've gone back and forth on it. I feel like there were smoke screens, smoke and mirrors with all of the controversy. And, you know, one of the teams in the top seven picks says that Shedeur Sanders is like, yeah, because Shedeur Sanders, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I think I played a clip, and maybe I'll go find it so we can play it again. I'll play a clip that reminded me of, like, who his dad is and the history of his dad. And there's definitely a connection there. 888-808-1019. I'll go find the clip. So I won't spoil the clip. But as I'm thinking of his dad in pinstripes playing in New York, Deion knows his New York market. He knows how to prepare his son for it. His son is already prepared. Like, his son has dealt with the media for years now. He's already prepared for the New York media. He knows he's got to keep the main thing. Football. Lock in on the football. But I could see the side-by-side now. Deion with his Yankee hat and Shedeur holding up that Giants jersey. Sanders, father and son, both getting to play in New York. 888-808-1019. Let's break right here. When we come back, I'll play the audio that just kind of connected Deion Sanders' draft experience to what his son is experiencing. And I just really am thinking now that, hey, if you're not getting Aaron Rodgers or who knows who the veteran's going to get, you still got to take a swing at a quarterback. And I don't see how you pass on Shedeur Sanders. I don't see how this regime passes on Shedeur Sanders, who could be a very accurate NFL quarterback for years to come. Keith McPherson on the Fan. If you're on hold, stay on hold. I feel like I'm running out of time, so let's take this break. When we come back, we'll play that audio I was talking about with Deion Sanders and the connection to his son with the Giants, and we'll take your calls, and I've got some more things to sprinkle in that I haven't gotten to. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Oh, yes! You're now rocking with the best! KM to 2 a.m. Keith McPherson on the Fan tonight. Thanks for listening. Thanks for holding. Thanks for dialing 888-808-1019. We're just talking sports, you know, as we do all day, every day, over and over and over again. It never gets old. You guys never get tired talking about the same sports, same teams, same player. All right, let's get into the clip I was talking about before the break. This is Emmanuel Acho on The Facility. It's a show on FS1 where LeSean McCoy and James Jones and Chase Daniel talk NFL, as, you know, guys that played in the NFL. And this clip came out March 4th, right after the combine. And I was saying there's a parallel here between Shedeur Sanders and Deion Sanders. Go ahead and play it, Pete.
I think Shedeur Sanders' security makes a lot of people insecure.
No question.
I think Shedeur Sanders realizing, wait a second, I've made money before I got into the NFL. Wait a second, my pops has already taught me about the value not only of money, but the value, most importantly, of myself. Shedeur Sanders has realized, wait a second, who are you to dictate how I should feel, how I should think, how I should act, and how I should move? Furthermore, apple tree, it don't fall far from it. Who you think his dad was? Remember 1989, the New York Giants wanted to interview Deion Sanders. The New York Giants, they simply said, hey, Deion, we want you to take this written test. Deion said, why am I taking a written test? The Giants said, well, we make all of our draft picks, potential draft picks, take it. Deion said, hey, where do y'all pick at? They said, in the 17 range. Deion Sanders said, oh, I'm going to be long gone before y'all ever pick. And he walked up out the room. Yeah. Apple tree, who you think raised Shedeur Sanders? So when Shedeur Sanders, I would suggest, comes off as confident, comes off as secure, comes off as knowing who he is, you insecure dictate his security is something that's an issue. That's how I feel about it.
Trip down memory lane. Yeah, Deion wasn't doing no written test. Why am I bothering to do a written test for you? You're not going to be able to draft me. I'm going top five, and he went five. And Shedeur, who I follow his podcast, I follow his Instagram, Twitter, all of that. His goal is to go top five, really to go top four, so he has something over his dad. 888-808-1019. Also, I told you on his podcast, he's more subdued and laid back. He kind of speaks under his breath. He doesn't really like enunciate and you know, really, he doesn't have like a big voice. He's kind of, like at the combine, they asked me the same questions about, like, he kind of talks kind of like under his breath. And that's okay. I'm sure he's different on the field or whatnot, but like he was different in the meeting that he had with the media. His diamonds were dancing. That's all I remember. He had on two of the shiniest diamond chains. There's a video on Twitter. They couldn't focus the camera on him because his diamonds were bossing. I'm like, yo, this guy is rich. He's always been rich. He's secure. He's not going into the NFL like, I got to make it. He's not going into the NFL like, I gotta impress every one of these teams. Somebody's got to draft me. He knows he's getting drafted. And he knows which teams like him. And his dad told him, go in there and be confident. Go in there and tell him exactly what it is. So that's why he came in and he said, you know, if you don't want me, don't come get me. That's why he went in there and said, I've changed programs. I went into losing programs and changed it. History is going to repeat itself. I did it at Jackson State. I did it at Colorado. You think I can't do it in the NFL? Go to a losing franchise and turn it around? I've proven that's what I do. So I'm very intrigued by, again, and it goes around and around. You know, you start to think that the Giants are going to trade up for Cam Ward, and you're not so sure about that. And there's a lot of smoke and mirrors there because, of course, the Titans are going to make it seem like everybody. The Titans made it seem like the Jets were going to do that. Now, the Jets are out. You know, they have to do that so that other people call the phone up. Hey, what are they offering you? We'll beat it. But now it's, you know, coming back to, hey, take Shador. Get Russ. I would move on from Aaron Rodgers because I think Aaron Rodgers is using you like Matthew Stafford. He doesn't want to play in the cold of MetLife Stadium. He doesn't want to play behind that offensive line. He doesn't want to play on a fourth place team that's got to go up against the Eagles and the Commanders and the Cowboys and has the toughest strength of schedule in the NFL. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is a real thing. Go ahead and sign Russ or bring in Jameis. I wouldn't put Flacco in there. And then I tell Russ and I tell Jameis, hey, we're gonna get a quarterback. We're going for Shador Sanders. And I think if there's enough word on the street, you know, Deion will tell the Browns, hey, don't draft my son. We're going to New York, baby. We're going back to New York, baby. 888-808-1019. Remember when the season ended and, you know, there were rumors that Deion was going to go coach the Dallas Cowboys and the Dallas Cowboys were going to trade up for Shador Sanders. Yeah, right. Dave is in Belleville on the Fan. Welcome back, Dave.
Thanks, Keith. How you doing?
I'm good. Happy to be here talking about everything.
Yeah, I was talking to your producer after the guy called about the robo pitcher.
Yeah, you know, Friday night, you know, we haven't had too many loopy calls.
A robo quarterback. Remember when
automatic quarterback.
When you were younger, did you have like a steady quarterback? Remember when you played for both teams? Like, you know, when you're playing with your friends?
I played a lot of automatic quarterback growing up. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, so you gave rid of you have a robo quarterback, and he, you know, he can't get hurt, and you see, the fans get in for free.
Johnny Five. Where's Johnny Five? Can Johnny Five throw?
So I was looking at the all the free agents the Cowboys signed.
They've made some moves, but they've dug themselves in such a hole. I can't believe that they're going to be able to dig themselves out of the hole with all these moves. But they're at least they're having a more active offseason than they had last year when they claimed they were going all in.
Yeah. Well, thank God they got rid of McCarthy because I couldn't stand him.
It was time. But like, if you're going to get rid of McCarthy, go get somebody else that's coveted. Instead, they just elevate Brian Schottenheimer, who was holding a clipboard as like a offensive coordinator assistant. I don't know. It just didn't do anything for me.
But you didn't think Deion would be a good pick, were you?
Hell no. Yeah, I was on this microphone saying he was just coaching high school. You want him to coach the Dallas Cowboys? That would be insane.
That would be more of a circus than there is now. Right?
And Deion came out and said, I can't coach college guys. He's got it. You know, I look at Deion and even like a Rick Pitino. These guys are able to do what they are doing with their celebrity and influence and their pedigree and their names because of NIL and the transfer portal.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I mean, he's getting a lot of recruits. You got to give him that, but he, you know, the pros aren't like that. So, you know, people aren't going to. I wonder if Dak's going to, you know, redo his contract to open up some money.
Nah. Dak's not. I mean, he could. You know, they always restructure and they give him more bonus money and give him more money up front. But I think Dak looks at Jerry Jones like, I'm taking you for every penny, for every time you didn't believe in me. Dak Prescott was a fourth round pick. Jerry Jones has wasted so much money on Dak Prescott. It is ridiculous. You should have never had to pay him so many times and so much.
Well, and they're going to have to pay, which is Parsons now. And I heard that they were talking about trading him. Is that?
That was a rumor like 2 weeks ago. And then it popped up and it disappeared. And now it's that, you know, they got to pay him. But they got to figure out a way to pay him. He's one of the best in the game. It's just foolish that they waited so long because Max Crosby and then Myles Garrett made the price go up.
I like Fowler signing. What do you think about that?
Yeah, he's there. You know, Dante Fowler, I mean, he's been there. It doesn't move the needle for me. He's been there with them losing and folding. I hope they have a good draft. I don't know. I'm out on him, really. I just don't care about him.
When is Overshine supposed to be back?
I don't know. And he was putting out Cowboys versus everybody. I'm like, dude, you're hurt again. I don't know when he's going to be back.
But he was having a good season. I mean,
sure. He had that nice that pick six against the Giants. But he's hurt again, and it sucks because they always find these linebackers that get hurt and can't stay on the field.
Yeah, exactly.
I like the move to get Kenneth Murray Jr. They've been needing an actual linebacker for a while now, and they add that guy. So he comes over from the Chargers. I think he's going to be solid for him because they just need linebackers. I remember him coming out of Oklahoma. He's a blockhead type. He's gonna put his head in there and run some guys over, block, you know, run into some blocks, tackle some guys.
Like Bosworth, right?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Yep.
That's my team, Oklahoma in college. Huh? They got a lot of quality, you know, especially quarterbacks. It's amazing for a team that used to run all the time to have all these Heisman Trophy quarterbacks.
Yeah, because that's Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury had Jalen Hurts. He had Baker Mayfield. He had Kyler Murray. It's the system. Now, you know, he went to USC. He had Caleb Williams over there. It's the system.
I don't know, well, I'm hoping for a good season. As long as we keep our kicker, we'll be in the game.
Yeah, they're going to be kicking a lot. Thanks for the call, Dave. 888-808-1019. I'm so detached from the Dallas Cowboys. Like, you know what I said on air? I'm like, I should have never told y'all. You know what Spike told me? Spike is an Eagles fan. And when I came in, Spike's like, you know, you don't have to tell anybody you grew up rooting for the Cowboys and you're still a Cowboys fan. Like, you could keep that to yourself. I'm like, nah, that wouldn't be me. That wouldn't be authentic. That wouldn't be real. Like, nah, now I'm just like, I can't get rid of it. I can't shake it. People, you know, I literally will see people out and they're like, you're a big Cowboys fan, right? And I'm like, not really. I'm like 205, 200. And like, I wish I could shed the weight. I wish I could shed the weight of this Dallas Cowboys burden. I didn't know what I was doing. I was a child. They were winning. They were good. I didn't know what Jerry Jones was going to do for all. I had no idea, man. Chris is in Brooklyn. Chris, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? What's going on?
Hanging out, talking sports.
All right, I hear you. I just wanted to call about Shedeur Sanders, right, and his father. The people in this town have this thing, and it's not just in this town, but I listen to the radio in this town. I'm a huge Giants fan, been dying for a quarterback, especially one of color, if I could say that. But the people in this town and all over, they talk about his father. Guys, people, ladies, do your research on who Deion Sanders really was. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He's an old school coach.
Religious.
Don't let the
very
shades
religious.
Don't let the shades and the chains fool you. This guy's an old school, hard nosed dude, and that's how he raises his sons. He doesn't give them anything. They earn everything.
Yep.
Deion Sanders is going to be the reason why Shedeur Sanders will be great for this place.
So
for
I
this
said
media.
They're not going to let
He'll
him
be
fail.
Able to handle it.
He's got the support system around him, and all you hear is that he respects people. He's raised his sons to be respectful.
Absolutely.
Treat the janitor the same as the CEO.
Right. But, you know, people look at the shades and they listen to his father and they call it arrogance, and he's, you know,
no, he's
tells
earned
you,
that.
He sprays cologne as confidence.
He's and earned the right to be all it. That. He's one of the greatest of exactly. all time.
Exactly. Let's do our research. Deion Sanders is one of the greatest athletes guards ever created. One of the best football players we've ever seen. He's never been in trouble. We're never going to have to worry about Shedeur Sanders outside of football and, you know, the things that you worry about with the young guys.
Never.
We're not going to have to worry about that with him. He's going to work. He's going to be in there watching film. This guy, Deion Sanders, is a savant. And this is his son. This is his crown jewel. Yes, he has other kids, but this kid is his crown jewel. He is not going to allow for him to mess that up. And that kid has been raised and groomed for this situation. Please draft this kid. Please.
Thanks for the call, Chris. Yeah, you know, I had in my notes, I just went to find it. There was this clip of Shedeur, and he's been working out, too. He's been in the gym. It looks like he's trying to put on some muscle, as he should. You know, going to the NFL. But, you know, they were talking to him about the importance of consistency and how much his dad affected him as a father and a coach. And he said, you know, he always took football very serious because of the fear of letting pops down. Like, his older brother, Bucky, went to SMU and played corner back when, you know, they were they lived in Dallas, so he went to SMU. His second older brother, Shiloh, went to South Carolina and played safety. And when that didn't work, Deion grabbed him out of South Carolina and said, hey, you're coming with us. He went to Jackson State. He went to Colorado. He didn't get invited to the combine, but he may get a, you know, an invite to camp. He might be a, you know, free agent that gets signed somewhere. So here comes the baby of the group, Shedeur, who isn't as fast as his older brothers, isn't as quick as his older brothers, and doesn't decide to be a DB like his father and his brothers. He decides to play quarterback. He decides to take that challenge on to be the quarterback. And he knows that he's living in his father's shadow. He knows that he's carrying his father's name and legacy, and he lives up to it every time. High school, Jackson State, Colorado. And there's this tweet from First Round Mock. They said that fear of letting his dad down shows up all over his film. Like, you know, like this guy is, like, you could tell he studies. There's a part of him that just, like, you could tell he's a coach's son. He loves the game. He's serious about the game. There's so many clips that, like, show up of, like, he wants to win. He's driven. I was just in a newsroom talking to Chris about, like, yo, this guy played. Okay, so when he played at Colorado, they threw that team together makeshift quickly through the transfer portal and NIL. And I was saying to Chris, like, from my experience in college, the best offensive lines, the best guys in the trenches are, like, offensive linemen that, like, came in together as, like, freshman, sophomore, grew up together, lifted together, trained together, got to the point where, like, they have reps and experience and life experience together. They eat together. They drink beers together. They party together. They're brothers in arms, and they go to war. That's what football is, and that's what these offensive linemen, defensive linemen are doing every play. They are fighting legalized assaults. And Shedeur, back-to-back years, they were not able to recruit a good enough offensive line to protect him. And he knew it. His dad knew it. And there, you know, he got criticism for calling his offensive line out in a post-game press conference. And I was just saying to Chris, you think that didn't come from his dad? You think his dad didn't also? Like, they watch film. They see what these guys are doing. And it's not that they're throwing them under the bus. Like, Chris and I were just talking about the Nebraska game. And I watched that Nebraska game. Them big boys up front from Nebraska, they were all over Shedeur. And that's another thing. He's tough. He takes hits. That Kansas game, he's getting hit. Right, people gave him a lot of slack for, like, how he shoved the ref because he's getting up frustrated. Like, yo, this is a late hit, rough in the passer, call it. But he didn't come out of games. He took the hits. And with a makeshift offensive line, he knew he had a makeshift offensive line. He would spin out, find green grass, throw the ball downfield. He would hold on to the ball. That should not happen in the NFL. But if it does happen with the Giants, who can't seem to put together an offensive line, he's prepared for it. 888-808-1019. But he shouldn't have to be running for his life with the Giants. Can the Giants get an offensive line together that can protect him? If he has protection, if he has time to make his reads, he's hitting Malik Nabers in the hands. He's hitting Malik Nabers in the numbers. It'll be the best quarterback Malik Nabers has had consistently throwing him. He won't have to contort his body and twist and jump and stop short. The ball is going to be where it needs to be. Last hour coming up. Keith McPherson on the Fan. 888-808-1019. It's wide open. Whatever you want to talk about, from Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, Russell Wilson, Joe Flacco, Aaron Rodgers, Jameis Winston. Obviously, we hit Justin Fields earlier and the Jets, their quarterback situation. I saw Tyrod Taylor working out. He's probably trying to be ready just in case it doesn't work out with Fields and they got to go to him. We talked about the Mets and Juan Soto and how everything is coming up great for the Mets with Clay Holmes as the opening day starter and the Mets house in Union Square and ticket prices already booming after Steve Cohen called the fans out. We talked about the Yankees with Carlos Rodon taking the mound in the Bronx. It is what it is. You don't have Cole. Freed is not ready. Rodon gets paid the big bucks. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for his family. I'm happy to be back to baseball. I'm happy with what I saw with the Yankees rallying in spring training today. Dave and Susan's first time on the call. St. John's opened the show as well as they won, and now we know that they'll face Creighton in the Big East Tournament Championship tomorrow night. The Knicks are back on the floor. Actually, it's now Saturday. So Saturday, 6:30. Tonight at 6:30, you'll get the Red Storm versus Creighton, and then you'll see the Knicks versus the Warriors. It's all open. Whatever you guys want to do, hit me up with it. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back.
You want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Lease a new 2025 Mazda CX-50 all-wheel drive, only $249 a month. Or buy and get 0.9% APR financing for 36 months. Start shopping now at RamseyMazda.com. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Call 833-853-2970 for details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN SN316458. MSRP 32295 and 33125.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.